Hari Om Sahana Vavatu Sahana Bhunaktu Sahabiryan Karavavahai Tejasvi Navaditamasto Mavidvishavahai Om Shanti 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 Om Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Jagadadhara Srivasari Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
Okay. Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Lila, Chapter 14, Performance of the Vrindavan Pastimes, page 41. At this time, Srivas Thakur smiled and told Swarup Damodar, "My dear sir, please hear. Just see how opulent my goddess of fortune is. As far as Vrindavan's opulence is concerned, it consists of a few flowers and twigs, some minerals from the hills, a few peacock feathers, and the plant known as Gunja." When Jagannath decided to see Vrindavan, he went there, and upon hearing this, the goddess of fortune experienced restlessness and jealousy. She wondered, why did Lord Jagannath give up so much opulence and go to Vrindavan? To make him a laughingstock, the goddess of fortune made arrangements for much decoration. Then the maidservants of the goddess of fortune said to the servants of Lord Jagannath, why did your Lord Jagannath abandon the great opulence of the goddess of fortune, and for the sake of a few leaves, fruits, and flowers, go see the flower garden of Srimati Radharani? Your master is so expert at everything, but why does he do such things? Now bring your master before the goddess of fortune. In this way, all the maidservants of the goddess of fortune arrested the servants of Jagannath, bound them around the waist, and brought them before the goddess of fortune. When all the maidservants brought Lord Jagannath's servants before the lotus feet of Goddess of Fortune, the Lord's servants were fined and forced to submit. All the maidservants began to beat the rock carts with sticks, and they treated the servants of Lord Jagannath almost like thieves. Finally, all of Lord Jagannath's servants submitted to the Goddess of Fortune with folded hands, assuring her that they would bring Lord Jagannath before her the very next day. Being thus pacified, the Goddess of Fortune returned to her apartment. Just see, my goddess of fortune is opulent beyond all description. Srivas Thakur continued to address Swarup Damodar. Your gopis are engaged in boiling milk and churning yogurt, but my mistress, the goddess of fortune, sits on a throne made of jewels and gems. Srivas Thakur was enjoying the mood of Narad Muni, thus made jokes. Hearing him, all the personal servants of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu began to smile. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu then told Srivas Thakur, my dear Srivas, your nature is exactly like that of Narad Muni. The Supreme Personality of Godhead's opulence is having a direct influence upon you. Swarup Damodar is a pure devotee of Vrindavan. He does not even know what opulence is, for he is simply absorbed in pure devotional service. Swarup Damodar then retorted, my dear Srivas, please hear me with attention. You have forgotten the transcendental opulence of Vrindavan. The natural opulence of Vrindavan is just like an ocean. The opulence of Dwarka and Vaikuntha is not even to be compared to a drop. Sri Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, full of all opulences, and his complete opulences are exhibited only in Vaikuntha Dham. No, only in Vrindavan Dham. Vrindavan Dham is made of transcendental touchstone. Its entire surface is the source of all valuable jewels, and the Chintamani stone is used to decorate the lotus feet of the maidservants of Vrindavan. Vrindavan is a natural forest of desire trees and creepers, and the inhabitants do not want anything but the fruits and flowers of those desire trees. In Vrindavan, there are cows that fulfill all desires, kamadhenus, and their number is unlimited. They graze from forest to forest and deliver only milk. The people want nothing else. In Vrindavan, the natural speech of people sounds like music, and their natural motion resembles a dance. The water in Vrindavan is nectar, and the Brahma Jyoti effulgence, which is full of transcendental bliss, is directly perceived there in its form. The gopis there are also goddesses of fortune. They surpass the goddess of fortune, who abides in Vaikuntha.
What's the meaning of seeing the form of Brahma?
Means Bhagavan.
Means
Brahman is all bliss, and here's the form of that bliss.
Krishna, you know. Is
yes, yeah, an unlimited form.
Jagannath is called Daru Brahman.
Daru Brahman. Yeah.
The form of wood.
Form of wood. In Vrindavan, Lord Krishna is always playing his transcendental flute, which is his dear companion. For the damsels of Vrindavan, the gopis, are super goddesses of fortune. The enjoyer in Vrindavan is the supreme personality of Godhead, Krishna. The trees, they are all wish-fulfilling trees, and the land is made of transcendental touchstone. The water is all nectar, the talking is singing, the walking is dancing, and the constant companion of Krishna is his flute. The effulgence of transcendental bliss is experienced everywhere. Therefore, Vrindavan Dham is the only relishable abode. Footnote 17. This is a quotation from the Brahma Samhita 5.56. It also means it's just creating that atmosphere of, because from the Jnana Shakti you get the tastes of sweetness or of majesty. And so there, then it's just expanding that of sweetness. So then everywhere there's that taste, that wonderful taste of sweetness. The anklets on the damsels of Brajabhumi are made of Chintamani stone. The trees are wish-fulfilling trees, and they produce flowers with which the gopis decorate themselves. There are also wish-fulfilling cows, kamadenos, which deliver unlimited quantities of milk. These cows constitute the wealth of Vrindavan. Thus, Vrindavan's opulence is blissfully exhibited. Footnote 18. This verse by Bilva Mangal Thakur is quoted in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu 2.1.173. Srivas Thakur then began to dance in ecstatic love. He vibrated sounds by slapping his armpits with the palms of his hand, and he laughed very loudly. Thus, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu heard these discussions about the pure transcendental mellow of Srimati Radharani. Absorbed in transcendental ecstasy, the Lord began to dance. While Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was dancing in ecstatic love, Srup Damodar was singing. The Lord said, "Go on singing, go on singing." The Lord then extended his own ears. Thus, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's ecstatic love was awakened by hearing the songs of Vrindavan. In this way, he inundated Purushottam Jagannath Puri with love of Godhead. Finally, the goddess of fortune returned to her apartment. In due course of time, as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was dancing, afternoon arrived. After much singing, all four Sankirtan parties grew fatigued. But Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's ecstatic love increased twofold. While dancing, absorbed in Srimati Radharani's ecstatic love, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared in her very form. Seeing this form from a distant place, Nityananda Prabhu offered prayers. Seeing the ecstatic love of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Nityananda Prabhu did not approach but remained a little distance away. Only Nityananda Prabhu could catch Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, but the ecstatic mood of the Lord would not stop. At that time, kirtan could not be continued. Srup Damodar then informed the Lord that all the devotees were fatigued. Seeing this situation, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to his external senses. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu then entered the flower garden with all his devotees. After resting there for some time, he took his afternoon bath. Then there arrived in large quantities a variety of food that had been offered to Sri Jagannath and a variety that had been offered to the goddess of fortune. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu finished his afternoon lunch, and after his evening bath, he went to see Lord Jagannath. As soon as he saw Lord Jagannath, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu began to chant and dance. Afterward, accompanied by his devotees, the Lord enjoyed sporting in the lake called Narendra Sarovar. Then, entering the flower garden, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took his meal. In this way, he continued performing. He continuously performed all kinds of pastimes for 8 days. verses 244 to 257. Lord Jagannath returned to Neelachal. Yes.
This means that the last sentence means they just continue the same kind of routine every day, as explained previously.
Yeah, no, they see Jagannath, they do kirtan, you know, they'll take the bath, they'll take lunch, you know. So that basically these things are what's going on, you know. So they're chanting and dancing, accompanying devotees. So that's why he sums it up in this way. So it's not. That's the point is here, is that because you're dealing with the moods and the rasas, it doesn't have to be necessarily a chronological description. It's just showing what are the different things that go on, you know, and then this is what goes on. You know, so there might be something that stands out that's slightly different or something like this, and those things will be mentioned. But otherwise, then, you know, if it says he takes his bath at this time, you don't have to mention it again, you know, unless it's a necessary part of the description. You know, because let's say Ramananda Rai and Lord Chaitanya speak and they go all night, but then say they leave to go do the morning bathing and everything like that. So there you say that because then you know why he left. Otherwise you say yes, and so Lord Chaitanya then left. And then why? You know, because it was, you know, the morning had come, and so now they had to, you know, go about their duties. Ramananda would have to go back to his office. You know, these things.
Yeah. Right. Here it is mentioned that Sri Chaitanya Prabhu took the form of Srimati Radharani.
Yeah, but that's...
And it's like just one information after going on.
Yeah. But where would that come from? I mean, why would that be there?
To show to some devotee like Nityananda Prabhu?
There, but I'm saying, Lord Chaitanya, you know, what is the aspects of his descent? What are they based around?
Yes, he's taking the mood of Srimati Radharani.
Yes, so the aspects of her love for him, her attraction for him, the happiness she feels in the service for him, you know, the desire to render service, so all these different things. So he's already taking that mood, you know, so then how he moves and all that, then that'll naturally be the form. But it appears that only Lord Nityananda could see that, you know, how he's just as Srimati Radharani. The others will see Lord Chaitanya. But the point is how his movements, everything will, you know, naturally follow that attitude. So that's all that more needs to be said. Because otherwise, we'll take that aspect of the form. And so then we'll want to make something out of that. But, you know, what about the mood? The mood is the thing that's being tasted. You know, the mood is what is tasted. Forms and that have their value in how much they can be nicely engaged in the pastimes of the Lord. Mm-hmm. Right? So we see as the Sandini Sambit, then they're going to their purpose is about the ecstasy of the Lord. So through the Sambit potency, the Lord manifests his form. Like that. So Srimati Radharani, the other devotees, it would all be the same aspect. But it's the Ladini that's important. So he is tasting that mood that she tastes in relationship to himself. That will be important. It's not, so in other words, the Ladini aspect is the important aspect, not the Sandini. It's there. You know, and so it's amazing, it's special, it's unique. But that's not the emphasis. So that's what we were saying a few days ago. We were discussing is a lot of times when we, you know, may get into more of a rasa bhav, it'll be more discussing the situational, the sandini aspects, not the hladini. Because all you can do is just say they were in ecstasy. They were, you know, they like that. You can't explain ecstasy, the taste. You can't. So therefore, these things, you know, don't need to be extended more than necessary. Is that, yeah.
It's like the last class, we discussed that, I don't know, it appears to be a drink, yogurt, black pepper.
Yes, yes.
Tequila, so we discussed the ingredients,
right.
But the taste, because none of us have the experience.
Yeah, so you can't.
We just said, okay, ingredients, but then where's the taste?
Yeah, so it's the same thing. You know, but see, is these conversations where you may bring these up and focus on that, it's not that it's a problem. It's because it's focused on Krishna. And so we'll get a taste from that. But the taste that they're experiencing, that's another thing. You know? Like, you know, like what devotee mentioned about, you know, coming to Radhakund and all that. And Prabhupada said, what you'll do there? He says, oh, I'll preach. He says, no, Radhakund's for tasting, not for preaching. So, you know, therefore, if you're not tasting, then you don't go to Radhakund. You know, we go there, respect, take our bath, you know, circumambulate, do some kirtan, like that, and then we go. Yes?
Another point on that there's an explanation that from the scriptures we gain knowledge.
Yes.
But then when we enter Sadhu Sangha, then we actually gain the mood. So in those stages there's a progression. So Shraddha means gaining knowledge.
Yes.
Based on the scripture.
Yes.
But then Satsanga means actually we should get the mood.
Yes.
From the spiritual master, from the devotees.
Yes.
What is the mood in which we perform devotional service?
Yes.
So.
Yes, that's the important. I mean, because if you have the right mood, because the mood is what carries. You know, it's like you can have a situation, and from that you can have so many moods. So the situation itself is the abstract. The mood's going to be the concrete. So that's why, you know, sometimes, you know, devotees will argue over some words and all that, but the point is no, what's the mood? That's how we approach it. That's how you know, what's the aspect. So someone who has, you know, more appreciation of that then can give better, you know, like, you know, say, you know, you have some young brahmacharis arguing over something, and then some more mature devotee can, you know, bring out points that they're not considering. You know, and somehow, you know, just the 3-hour conversation gets ended in 1 minute, you know, so it's like, yeah, that mood is the thing, because that's what carries us. That's why then it's that mood. We have, Srila Prabhupada has a mood. We follow that mood. And you see is that, you know, sometimes they'll say, oh, well, that's Prabhupada's mood. You know, the acharyas are different. But when you see they talk, no, it's the same. You know, like we were saying, in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, very nice elaboration on all the rasas when it comes to the conjugal, very short. So Prabhupada's bringing out, you know, certain attitudes, the flavors and things like that, that kind of aspect. And so there may not be much external detail explained. Because we're thinking, oh, rasik means more sandini, you know. And sometimes it might be we catch the, you know, the samvid aspect. But the taste that's there, that we're not necessarily experiencing. So because it's connected to Krishna, by hearing about those things or reading those things, it's naturally going to be, you know, special. But what those personalities taste, you know, it's like there's that story, I don't remember the book, but there was something that was written by one of the acharyas. And I think it was Raghunath Das, I think it was him, or maybe it was another one, Gopal Bhatta or somebody, then read it, and then they went into this mood of separation or something like that. So then the acharya wrote another book, a small book, to cheer him up, and then gave him that. When he read that, then he came back to his normal. You know that story?
Yeah, but I don't remember the details. Yeah, who is playing which role? No.
I kind of remember Dana Kaili Kamuri as possibly the book. So that's his book. So that means it was someone else than who was given. So you have that aspect. It's these moods that's there. Because otherwise we can read the book and it's nice and it's fun and like that. You know, or the, so you have many books, you know, that'll have that kind of flavor. And so to be absorbed in Krishna, that's the main thing. So that's what you're trying to do. And so if you can discuss these, it's always nice. But one should understand is that there's more. It's the taste that is the thing, not just that you know and you memorize all these different things. Like that. You know, so it's yeah. And so, because if, how you say, You know, it's like, what do you call it? You know, that comment by Ravi Shankar at Woodstock? He comes on the stage with a sitar and the tabla and the tambura, and they're tuning, right? And that, you know, they're just tuning and duk 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 and this and that. And when they finished, you know, it was, you know, a few minutes like that, the crowd erupted and, you know, they were in ecstasy like that, you know. Things, you know, wow, okay. You know, so then his comment was, well, if you like the tuning up, you're really going to like the concert. You know? You know, so like that, you know, so it's in connection. So anything connected to Krishna is always perfect. And so if we can absorb ourselves, that's very nice. But we have to be very, very careful that we don't consider that's a better position or more advanced, because we're, you know, in other words, we're dealing with all these, if we're simply still dealing with the Sandini, it's Sandini. You know? So they're just supporting, you know, that's being used by Sambit, which is in pursuance of Ladini. So we always have to remember it's about Krishna being pleased. And so the devotees discussing and things like that, then it comes out very nice. You know? So you see, all the things are mentioned. You know? It's just a matter of noticing it, or, you know, catching it. Does that make sense? Yes.
You know, every morning with a group of Chinese devotees, we read English, we read Prabhupada's letters.
Hmm.
So I read, you know, three, four, two or three a day.
Hmm.
And we're doing that in 1968. So there's a Prabhupada writes to Ayagriva. Ayagriva left because he does not agree with the way Roy Ram does editing.
Hmm.
You know, he wants to be prime, proper, and follow the rules.
And who? Ayagriva wants?
Yeah. And Roy Ram, he's increasing his service every day, back to Godhead, designing, organizing, printing. But his editing is not like top notch.
Mm-hmm.
So Prabhupada says, don't worry about Ayagriva. Your service is pleasing you like anything. Just keep going. Mm-hmm. Even if you make mistakes, you're pleasing the Guru.
Mm-hmm.
And Ayagriva will come back when he understands his mistakes.
Yeah. So that's the whole thing. If we can do that, then it's perfect. Because on the material platform, it's always the external form. Yes. That is the emphasis. Yes. And so, therefore, you know, we're engaging that. Sadhana bhakti means we're going to engage that. And it's not that in this spiritual world they don't use the form and the knowledge and the activities, but they're always to support that pleasure of Krishna. And so here, by habit, we'll get more absorbed in that. You know, and so then we may take that. But here is that he's trying to do more and more. And the other is then he has that, you know, that aspect of that the technical perfection. When it's not about the technical perfection. Because the point is that you have to see is how is that pleasing to the Lord. If that's pleasing to the Lord, then naturally. But he's seeing it separate than pleasing the Lord. He's seeing it, no, English has to be like this, otherwise it's wrong, rather than doing it, we're trying to please Krishna, so we do the best we can. You know, like that. And so then that makes the attitude is shifted like that. So the external takes on more of the material qualities than the spiritual. You know, like it says, the gopis are simple. You know, the Vrajbasis are simple. And all that, and that's, you know, how one could see. And we see Srivas Thakur brings that up. Mm-hmm. But then Srib Damodar comes back and says, yes, but they're the topmost. It's like Chintamani is the stone, is the source of all jewels and opulence. The gopis, that's just their ankle bells. You know, for you it's manifesting opulence, to them it's just ankle bells like that. You know, so like that, then it's just the mood is such that it's about the sweetness. Well he's taking the mood of Narad Muni, Srivas Thakur, so it's about the opulence, because that's the greatness of the Lord, grandeur of the Lord, and how nicely you can worship and all that. So it's just two bona fide flavors, and they're having some fun, because you see Swarup Damodar said some things, and then Srivas Thakur smiles, and then he says his, and then those who are, you know, the Vrindavanwalas, then they all smile also, and then, you know, say something back. You know, so it's just fun, the different flavors.
If, Mayapur is Vrindavan.
Yes.
And Srivas Thakur is in Mayapur.
Yes.
So what's his motive?
Assisting in Lord Chaitanya's pastimes. Because Lord Chaitanya is bringing a huge, wide range of devotees together. So you're not dealing just in one. It's all centered around Radha and Krishna. But that's the whole point, is as Lord Chaitanya, then so many others can come and take part. Because then the others, then they won't, you know, what will they do? You know? Is that you know, it's just like Lakshmi, what will she do? So they, in this way with Lord Chaitanya, then all these different devotees can all come together and assist. So it's just, you know, yeah. Yes.
I think in Gaura-Ganesh Deepika it is mentioned he's got prime mood, but also there's some Vrindavan mood is there actually. It's not like one. With him, Ramananda Rai, well, different devotees, they have a mixture of things.
Yeah.
How they manifest that mood in Braj.
Yeah, because you're bringing together so many pastimes. Like you see is Sachi Mata will have, you know, she's known as Mother Jashoda, but she also has the aspects of Devaki and Krishna Garba, and, you know, all those things like that. So there's going to be different aspects in the pastimes, where some of these other second, you know, supporting flavors are manifest.
Yeah.
While in Vrindavan you won't have those like that. You know, the realms are there having their own fully complete flavors. At the same time as this Lord Chaitanya, you can bring all those together based around Vrindavan, you know, and Radha and Krishna. Does that make sense? Yeah. Yes.
Because there is a mixture of like madhurya, then you mix compassion, then it becomes audharya. So this apparently the secondary rasa of compassion, in one sense, will allow it to mix with many more rasas.
Yes. Yeah. Because the point is that, but also the karuna is also known as the conjugal rasa. But then you're taking that compassionate aspect, but then applying it in a very wide range so that everybody can be involved. You know? So that's the specialty. Yeah, because otherwise some say, oh, okay, well, it's a different thing, you know, but actually it's not. Because Adi Rasa is where everything comes from. So that means it's the original. And so that Karunya is that aspect is then the prominent. And then, but it said, here is Vrindavan. So it's not different. So Lord Chaitanya has his pastimes here, then he'll taste that aspect. But then, you know, you have Vrindavan, but then you have the aspect of separation. But then when you have where Vrindavan is then an environment of majesty, then the separation is greater. Therefore he goes to Puri. You know, so that's the Kurukshetra aspect. You know, so one has the mood then holds the thing together. Otherwise, if one gets too much into the thing about, oh, this is Vrindavan, this is Dwarka, this is that, then sometimes one can miss some of the subtleties. Because as we also see is the play, what is it, Lalita Madhava? Is the one, it shows how the gopis become the queens.
Yeah.
You know. So, you know, and that's brought up, you know, quite a few times. You know, Lord Chaitanya, I think it was Rupa Goswami? Is that what we're taking? Or Jiva Goswami? Saying how Radharani becomes Rukmini. You know, because if you're taking positions like that. But then the aspect of moods, then you're going to see that flavor more of Radharani in Satyabhama. The left wing you'll see in Satyabhama. But the point is, right and left both come from Radharani. She's a Sarup Shakti. So in the majesty, then the right wing is going to be the prominent, and the left wing will be a supportive you know, to give some flavor. And in Vrindavan, then the left wing will be the prominent, and right wing will be subordinate. Like that, you know. So it's going to have these things. So we can't get too caught up on these things because they're one, they're different. Like you see, Jiva Goswami, you know, the doubt comes up, but you say it's this, and so it's one. And it says, yes, true, it's one, but it also is, it has this aspect, so it's two. They're not saying no, it's not one. No, it is. You know, like I says, you know, somebody says, you know, you're God, I'm God, we're all God. And Prabhupada says, yes, we're all God, but we're small God. Krishna's big God. You know? So it's just one of also the approaches is that, yeah, it means all these aspects, as long as they're coming in line with the Shastras, they're true, but then you don't want to overemphasize. So Prabhupada says, exclusive oneness. You want to avoid that. You know? Because the point is this, yes, there is the aspect of one, but it's two. Like here, they're talking about how Brahman, the Brahman feature, is creating that very pleasant mood in Vrindavan. You know, it's just pervading everywhere with that, with the wonderful transcendental ecstasy of the sweetness. Because that's the point. As we said, the sun, the jnana shakti, then is dealing with moods and flavors of a region. You know, Vrindavan will have Dwarka, Vaikuntha, like this. And so then, therefore, that's its service. It pervades and keeps that flavor all throughout. So it's there, you know. Does that make sense? You know, then all the energies are there. They're all interactive. They're all doing something, some action and all that. So some bits is controlling that. So the Kriya, you know, Kriya and some bits, they're controlling that. And so then, but the whole point is fulfilling Krishna's desires, you know, and his taste, that's the Vladini. So, you know, so it always goes back to that. So these other things, this disturbance comes up because we don't see it connected with the top. You know, it descends. If you take it on its own and all that, like you're saying, you know, taking the English on its own and, you know, there's the dignity of the English and this and that. And he's a professor. Okay, so now there's a good chance that, you know, on one hand, most people, like, you know, a huge amount, won't notice the difference. In fact, you know, they might find his stuff, you know, maybe more readable or less readable. Doesn't matter. But, you know, to them it won't make any difference. You know, so then that's one aspect. Two is that he feels he's doing the best and this and that, and it must be up to the standard. But you know, there's always going to be someone who knows better than you. You know, so even if he does do that, someone else will come along and say, "Oh, but if you had done this or whatever." You know, it's always going to be. So you know, you're always going to. So the point is doing that to please Krishna and doing the best. That's the important thing. Because here one is finding, because it's not like Hayagriva is saying, well, he, let me do more. And all go, you know, it's like, you don't like his editing, okay, then you do it. But it's not that it doesn't appear that, and at least from what we can understand from this information, it's not that he's offering that. Yeah, so therefore then, and Rai Ramananda, he's doing, and then, you know, this needs to be done, and it needs to be printed, and so he's just doing it himself. You know, and he must have some background and some, you know, education in it. You know, because like we said, we have to remember that general reading is called 12 plus. So that means if you paid attention and learned everything up to 12 years old, which basically means 6th or 7th grade, that's all the grammar you need to know. Because after that, that's when they start teaching, you know, creative writing and this and that. They don't deal with grammar so much anymore. So how much you actually need there? Of course, don't say that too loudly around a university professor, you know, in English lit. You know, that they'll just, you know, they'll just shrivel up and die, you know, like that. But that's the reality. And so therefore, Rai Ramananda, he comes forward, he's doing it. And so then Prabhupada's pleased with that. And the other wants to complain, you know, it's just like, someone wants to complain about, you know, the management, like that. Are you going to do? You step in, you do it. You know, it's like, you know, everyone wants to talk about, oh, the president this, president that. Okay, you be the president. You know? So, you know, some are cool with that, and some is kind of like, well, that's not, I just wanted to point out that you either do it or don't. You know, be quiet. He's doing it. He's doing his best.
Right. During the GBC meeting, you have a GBC who complains about a particular place. Everybody says, we've got a new GBC.
They do that.
You.
Okay.
You.
Yeah, yes. Huh? Okay, write it down. The scribe enters it into the book. Yeah, so yeah, that's funny. Yeah, so these kind of aspects, is there a mention, and it moves on, because that's all the more for us it is. What else could you get into? You know what I'm saying? Because her form, everything was described before. So all those aspects are formed. And then these must be being done, these aspects are being done, manifest to please Lord Jagannath. Is that... That's weird. I had on my... It wasn't there. I put the cheddar on. Oh, I took it off to go to the bathroom and didn't put it back on. Something, I'll bring it because it cools down, and I think, okay, it's cooled down, and get the... Huh? Where's the cheddar? Okay. Verses 244 to 257. Lord Jagannath returned to Neelachal. 214, 244 to 249. The next day... Lord Jagannath came out from the temple and, riding on the car, returned to his own abode. Right? Because, you know, they made them promise that they'd bring him back the next day. As previously, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his devotees chanted and danced with great pleasure. During the Pandu Vijay, Lord Jagannath was carried, and while he was being carried, a bunch of silken ropes broke. When the Jagannath deity is carried, at intervals, he is placed on cotton pads. When the ropes broke, the cotton pads also broke due to the weight of Lord Jagannath, and the cotton floated into the air. Ramananda Vasu and Satyaraj Khan were present from Kulinagram, and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, with great respect, gave them the following orders. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu ordered Ramananda Vasu and Satyaraj Khan to become the worshippers of these ropes, and every year bring silken ropes from their village. So it must be that... The area where they are, at least in those days, silk was there. Like it used to be, I think, someplace also here near this. I think in the Howrah side of Calcutta, there used to be silk was made there, or some areas there. Then it moved up to Midnapur, and like that. But before it was more down this side, like that. And so they'll make the silken ropes, but at the same time they'll be worshippers of the silken ropes, like that. Srila Prabhupada, it is understood that silken rope was being manufactured by the local inhabitants of Kulinagram. Therefore, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu asked Ramananda Vasu and Satyaraj Khan to get ropes every year for Jagannath's service. Right? Because the ropes are breaking, so they need plenty of ropes. Because silk is very, very strong. And so then it will be the preferred. Plus, it's very, very soft, so you can wrap them with it and tie in that. But other ropes, you know, like coconut, it'll be itchy. Hemp is quite strong, but it's smooth, but it won't be as smooth as silk. You know, they don't. No one says smooth as hemp. No, they say smooth as silk. No. Yeah, no one says smooth as hemp. You know, because otherwise that's a strong rope. Yeah, that's the one we use to hold the rope. You see these ones going like this at the bottom. That generally is hemp, but it might be coconut, but it's stronger, so then it's used for those places. But it won't be as smooth. 214, 250, 257. After telling them this, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu showed them the broken silk ropes, saying, just look at this sample. You must make ropes that are much stronger. So you see this, make ones that are stronger. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu then informed Ramananda Vasu and Satyaraj Khan that this rope was the abode of Lord Sesha, who expands himself into 10 forms and serves the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Footnote 19. He serves Lord Krishna assuming all the following forms. umbrella, slippers, bedding, pillow, garments, resting chair, residence, sacred thread, and throne. Adi Lila 5.1.23. So then he's also this rope. Right? So that's why then, because in the for the Gaudiya Vaishnavas, you see, Vrindavan is very standard that they wear panchmalas. You've heard of panchmalas? No? No one's heard? Okay, Hari Bhakti Vilas describes it. Panchmalas, you take tulsi, amlaki, lotus seeds, gunja, and then with and Jagannath rope, if you have it. You know, so you make a mala, and then you take some cloth from the deities, some prasad, and wrap that around and sew it up. So sometimes, if you've ever seen Baba's wearing these kind of big fat, it looks like just cloth going around their neck, but you can see it's a round thing. It's not just hanging like cloth. That's a panchmala. Never seen?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I mean, I don't know about now, but before it was very common. I don't know if it still is. Sorry?
Vrindavan
government, you see it frequently.
Yes, before we always were seeing. So that's a panchmala. Like that. So it has the rope in it. So it's one of the five worshipable malas that the Vaishnavas will wear. Like sometimes you see him just wearing the tulsi, you know, that'll be the minimum kind of thing like that. And then if there's more, then they put gunja, they'll wear, you know, like that. So, yeah. Oh, 2:14, 2:15. Oh, well, we did that. After receiving orders from the Lord for the rendering of service, the fortunate Satyaraj and Ramananda Basu were highly pleased. Every year thereafter, when the Gundicha temple was being cleansed, Satyaraj and Ramananda Basu would come with the other devotees and with great pleasure bring silk and rope. Thus, Lord Jagannath returned to his temple and sat on his throne, while Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu returned to his residence with his devotees. Thus, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu showed the Rath Yatra ceremony to his devotees and performed the Vrindavan pastimes with them. The pastimes of Lord Chaitanya are unlimited and endless. Even Sahasravarana, Lord Sesha, cannot reach the limits of his pastimes. Praying at the lotus feet of Sri Rupa and Sri Raghunath, always desiring their mercy, I, Krishnadas, narrate Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, following in their footsteps.
Fairly short chapter.
No, it was 257. means the return wrath and that's only half a page.
Oh, okay.
So that's the point, is we don't emphasize return wrath. But the point is not that it's not there. It's just that there also, I don't think the return wrath, I think Jagannath goes quicker, he doesn't stop as much, it doesn't take as much time.
Yeah.
You know, like that. And so, you know, so it's the same that it says, the chanting and the dancing went on, the same things. But you see is that it was, okay. The next day, Lord Jagannath came out from the temple and riding in the cart returned to his own abode. As previously, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's devotees chanted and danced with great pleasure. So you have two sentences. Then after that, it's talking about the Pandavi Jai when he goes from the cart into the temple. And then it talks about the ropes breaking. So because he gave that order about the ropes, then this becomes significant. Otherwise, before you see, it didn't mention about this, even though ropes would break and the pillows would like that. So it's mentioned here because it's in connection with this order from Lord Chaitanya. You know, so that's a point of mood. You know, it's not. Some say, "Oh no, we don't go to." It's Lord Chaitanya, and that they went. It's just not where the big festival is the going, and back then, you know, it'll be done nicely. In his chapter summary of Sri Chaitanya Bhagavat, Antikanda Chapter 8, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur writes, when the time for Lord Jagannath's Rath Yatra festival came closer, the devotees from Bengal left for Neelachal to see the Rath Yatra festival under the order of Sriman Mahaprabhu. Pandit Shiva, Sri Chandrasekhar, Pandit Garadhar Das, Pundarik Vidyanidhi, Pandita Vakreshwara, Prajumna Brahmachari, Thakur Haridas, Vasudev Dutta Thakur, Sri Mukunda Dutta Thakur, Shivananda Sen, Govinda Anandana, the scribe Vijayadas, Sadashiva, or Sadashiva Pandit, Prushottama Sanjaya, Nandana Acharya, Shuklambara Brahmachari, Sridhara, Bhagavat Pandit, Gopinath Pandit, Sri Garba Pandit, Vanamali Pandit, Jagadish and Hiranya Pandita, Budhimanta Khan, Acharya Purandana, Murari Gupta, Garuda Pandit, Gopinath Simha, Sri Ramananda Pandit, Narayana Pandit, Pandit Damodar, who had gone to see Mother Sachi and Sri Advaita Prabhu. And Sri Advaita Prabhu, who took various edibles that were dear to the Lord and journeyed with their wives, sons, servants, maidservants, and relatives to Neelachal while chanting the holy names of Krishna along the way. So they came with everybody. The whole scene came. At Kamalapura, the devotees saw the flag on top of the Jagannath temple and offered their respectful obeisances. Mahaprabhu could understand that the devotees from Bengal, headed by Sri Advaita, were coming. So he had sent Jagannath Mahaprasad all the way to Cuttack to welcome them, and he personally led the devotees of Neelachal to Atara Nala to meet the Gaudiya Vaishnavas. As the devotees of Bengal headed by Sri Advaita and the devotees of Neelachala headed by Sri Gaurasunda met each other at Ataran Nala, their great ecstasy swelled and overflowed like the confluence of the Ganges and the ocean. Then, keeping Sri Mahaprabhu in front, the Sri Gaudiya Vaishnavas went to the banks of Narendra Sarovar while performing Sankirtana and dancing in ecstasy. By the arrangement of Providence, the Chandan Yatra, or boat festival of Sri Rama Krishna Govinda, fell on that day. The devotees from Bengal and the devotees from Neelachal together performed a huge kirtan. On seeing the boat festival of Sri Ramakrishna Govinda, Mahaprabhu jumped into the water of Narendra Sarovar with the devotees and performed various water sports. Although all kinds of people, such as materialists, sannyasis, and brahmacharis, engaged in swimming in the waters of Narendra Lake during the boat festival of Sri Ramakrishna Govinda, by the influence of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's illusory energy, they could not come anywhere near Sri Chaitanya or his devotees. Sri Chaitanya's mercy is obtainable only by unmotivated service attitude. It is not possible to associate with Sri Chaitanya's devotees or see their pastimes through education, wealth, or austerities. Mm-hmm. Not understanding the transcendental glories of chanting the holy name of Hari, the proud Mayavadi sannyasis fall down by regularly blaspheming Sri Chaitanya Dev for failing to study Vedanta, practice pranayama, or execute duties befitting a sannyasi. Although some exalted sannyasis glorify Sri Chaitanya Dev as a Mahajana, some consider him a learned scholar, and some consider him a great devotee, they are unable to understand the actual identity of Sri Chaitanya. Since Gaurasunda, who is non-different from the son of the king of Braja, and his devotees, who are non-different from Krishna's associates of Braja, engaged in water sports in Narendra Sarovar, the waters of Narendra became as fortunate as the rivers Jamuna and Ganges. Yeah, so you're going to have those that are blaspheming, and eventually they fall down, but others they may appreciate. But they still can't understand his position, who he is. Like that. Like in South, you go to the temples there, and they'll consider Lord Chaitanya's the greatest sannyasi. They don't actually know he's the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the son of Mother Jashoda. That they don't know. After completing their water sports in Narendra, Sriman Mahaprabhu, along with his devotees, went to Jagannath Temple to see Lord Jagannath. And seeing both moving and stationary Jagannath together, the devotees offered repeated obeisances to them. Kashi Mishra greeted all the devotees with remnants of Lord Jagannath's garland. The Lord enacted the pastime of an instructing spiritual master, displayed the pastime of accepting the remnants of Jagannath's garland. Sriman Mahaprabhu alone knows the glories of serving the Vaishnavas, Tulsi, the Ganges, and Mahaprasada. Mahaprabhu therefore taught Vaishnavas the principle of devotional service by exhibiting the pastime of offering obeisances to the swan-like Vaishnavas. The renounced order of life is the topmost among the ashrams. If the son of a person takes sannyas, then even the formerly respectable father of that son must offer his son respects. In the same way, Mahaprabhu, the all-respectable Supreme Lord, engaged in pastimes as a sannyasi, used to display the pastime of offering respect to the Vaishnavas in order to reveal the supremacy of the swan-like Vaishnavas. Mahaprabhu's pastimes of worshipping Tulsi were unique. The Lord would fill a small pot with choice dirt and plant Tulsi in it. Then, whenever the Lord would walk in the street chanting the name of Hari, someone would walk with that pot of Tulsi in front of the Lord. Thus the Lord would chant the holy name while seeing and following Tulsi. Whenever Mahaprabhu would sit down and chant, he would place Tulsi by his side so that he could see her while chanting the holy name. Sriman Mahaprabhu declared that he could not live without seeing Tulsi as a fish cannot live out of water. Only those who, rather than imitate, sincerely follow Siksha Guru and Narayana's teachings under the guidance of the spiritual master and the Vaishnavas are delivered from the hands of inauspiciousness. After taking darshan of Lord Jagannath, Sri Mahaprabhu returned to his residence with the devotees. The Lord, who is like a desire tree for the devotees, would satisfy the devotees according to their respective desires. Mahaprabhu always kept the devotees with him, showing them affection as one would his own son. And the devotees also constantly remained absorbed in the blissful service of the Lord. The devotees from Bengal and Nilachal lived together and engaged in Krishna Kirtana without consideration of caste or place of birth. By the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Dev, everyone received an opportunity to see the Vaishnavas from Swetadri. Sri Advaita Acharya repeatedly said with his own mouth that only by the mercy of Sri Chaitanya did he also have the opportunity to see those exalted Vaishnavas whom even the demigods are unable to see. The Vaishnavas are actually the Supreme Lord's eternal associates who accompany the Lord when he descends in this world. Just as Lord Vasudeva appears with Prajumna, Aniruddha, and Sankarsana, and as Lord Ramachandra appears with Lakshmana, Bharata, and Shatrughna, similarly these Vaishnavas appear by the order of Mahaprabhu to assist the Lord in his pastimes, right? So Advaita Acharya, because he's, Sankarsana. So then to be able to see the associates of the Lord from Braja, then he's saying this is special, that the Lord is revealing this. Mm-hmm. You know, so all the devotees, then they can appreciate it. Therefore, the birth and pastimes enjoyed by Vaishnavas are not the fruits of their karma. By the Lord's will, the Vaishnavas appear in this world to assist the Lord in his pastimes, and by the Lord's will, they disappear from this world. Yeah. So then it's all arranged by the Lord. Conclusion. If a person... Conclusion. If a person renders loving service to Krishna, it never goes in vain. Verse 16, purport. A student of Krishna consciousness must receive Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy. Then his devotional service will quickly succeed. This was the case with King Prataparudra. One has to be noticed by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And a little service with sincere efforts will convince the Lord that one is a proper candidate for returning home back to Godhead. At first, Maharaj Prataparudra did not have a chance to meet Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But when the Lord saw that the king was serving Lord Jagannath as a menial sweeper, the Lord's mercy upon the king became a solid fact. When Prataparudra, in the dress of a Vaishnav, was serving the Lord did not even inquire who he was. Rather, he had compassion upon him and embraced him. Verse 16, purport. Devotees of Krishna must personally seek the favor and mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to become fit to return home back to Godhead. Verse 16, purport. So we see slightly the flavor of Chaitanya Charitamrita then is given as that's for us is the major literature on Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. The other works of the Acharyas then, give very nice other aspects and details of the stories and all that. What we see is that the particular mood that's there, that's what's being brought out in the Chaitanya Charitamrita that's so special. Right? So, because that essential aspect about, you know, how Lord Chaitanya tastes the mood and this and that, so that's what we're getting here. And you see some other details, some very nice details. You know, the cultural aspects and everything followed by the Lord and the devotees in the Chaitanya Bhagavat. Mm-hmm. And so when it's appreciated in this mood, then it works very nicely. Otherwise, then, as Bhaktisiddhanta says, Haritakura, some may try to imitate, but they won't know who Lord Chaitanya is. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense?
Now, if it seems that Srila Prabhupada is really writing that everybody must seek the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu.
Yes.
It's not an option in one sense.
No, because he's the Lord of this age. So without his mercy, how are you going to progress? So that's why you see is that even for the other sampradayas to function, the four sampradayas, the acharyas, then they met Lord Chaitanya with his blessings, then they could preach and make devotees. Yes. So in that way, then they're all connected. Like that. So there's that parampara aspect. You know, and then when, after he comes, then you see they do, and then it works very nicely. They get very good results. Chapter 15. The Lord accepts prasadam at the house of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. Pratigya. When Krishna is the center, everyone can engage in different activities for the service of the Lord. Adhyaya Prakashika. The following summary of this chapter is given by Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur in his Amrita Prabaha Bhashya. After the Ratha Yatra festival, Sri Advaita Charya Prabhu worship Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu with flowers and tulsi. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in return, worshipped Advaita Charya with the flowers and tulsi that remained on the offered plate and said a mantra, Yosi, sosi, namo stute. Whatever you are, you are, but I offer my respects unto you. Then Advaita Charya Prabhu invited Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu for prasadam. When Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his devotees performed the Nandotsava ceremony, the Lord dressed himself as a cowherd boy. Thus, the ceremony was very jubilant. Then the Lord and his devotees observed Vijaya Dasami, the day of victory when Lord Ramachandra conquered Lanka. The devotees all became soldiers of Lord Ramachandra and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. In the ecstasy of Hanuman, manifested various transcendentally blissful activities. Thereafter, the Lord and his devotees observed various other ceremonies. Yeah, that's right. They stayed the whole rainy season. So Ratha Yatra is right in the beginning, but it seems that they came in time for Chandan Yatra. So that means for the Akshay Tritiya. So a little bit before the rains.
Taking prasadam on behalf of the Vrindacharya, I mean Mother Sati was. Sita.
Yeah, because it said before that they all came with their the family, the whole family, the wives and, you know, the sons and servants, maid servants, you know, the whole kit and caboodle came. You know, it's like the no, huh?
Hamula. Also, it seems that Advaita Charya, he had a residence in Chandanapur, like a permanent place.
Oh, okay.
We visited once. So he had his. It's a nice little yard. Nice.
Okay, so then he could host very nicely.
Yeah, it's off the main road from Gundicha to the Sri Mandir. Okay. Just on the side.
Okay, nice. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu then asked all the devotees to return to Bengal. Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu sent Nityananda Prabhu to Bengal for preaching, and also sent Ramadasa, Garadhar Dasa, and several other devotees with him. Footnote 20. From Adi Lila, 1053 purport. Garadhar Das is stated to be the luster of the body of Srimati Radharani. Just as Srila Gadadhar Pandit Goswami is an incarnation of Srimati Radharani herself. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is sometimes explained to be Radha Bhava, Duty, Suvalita, or characterized by the emotions and bodily luster of Srimati Radharani. Gadadhar Das is this duty or luster. Yes, so Radha Bhava duty. So Radha Bhava, Lord Chaitanya's taking, and then Gadadhar Pandit is that Radha, and then the duty, that's the Gadadhar Das. Yeah. In the Gauranga Deepika 154, he is described to be an expansion of the potency of Srimati Radharani. He counts among the associates of both Srila Gaurahari and Nityananda Prabhu. As a devotee of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he is one of the associates of Lord Krishna in conjugal love. And as a devotee of Lord Nityananda, he is considered to have been one of the friends of Krishna in pure devotional service. Even though he was an associate of Lord Nityananda Prabhu, he was not among the cowherd boys, but was situated in the transcendental mellow of conjugal love. He established the temple of Sri Gaurasundar in Katwa. In 1434 Shakabda, A.D. 1512, when Lord Nityananda Prabhu was empowered by Lord Chaitanya to preach the Sankirtan movement in Bengal, Sri Gadadhar Das was one of Lord Nityananda's chief assistants. He preached the Sankirtan movement by requesting everyone to chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. This simple preaching method of Srila Gadadhar Das can be followed by anyone and everyone in any position of society. One must simply be a sincere and serious servant of Nityananda Prabhu and preach this cult door to door. When Srila Gadadhar Das Prabhu was preaching the cult of Hare Kirtan, there was a magistrate who was very much against his Sankirtan movement. Following the footsteps of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Srila Gadadhar Das one night went to the house of the Qazi and requested him to chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. The Qazi replied, "All right, I shall chant the Hare Krishna Mantra. I shall chant Hare Krishna tomorrow." On hearing this, Srila Gadadhar Das Prabhu began to dance and he said, "Why tomorrow? You have already chanted the Hare Krishna Mantra, so simply continue." In the Gauranga Deepika, verses 154 to 55, it is said, Srila Gadadhar Das is considered to be a united form of Chandrakanti, who is the effulgence of Srimati Radharani, and Purnananda, who is the foremost of Lord Balaram's very dear girlfriends. Thus, Srila Gadadhar Das Prabhu was one of the associates of both Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Nityananda Prabhu. Once while Srila Gadadhar Das Prabhu was returning to Bengal from Jagannath Puri with Nityananda Prabhu, he forgot himself and began talking very loudly, as if he were a girl of Brajabhumi selling yogurt. And Srila Nityananda Prabhu noted this. Another time, while absorbed in the ecstasy of the gopis, he carried a jug filled with Ganges water on his head as if he were selling milk. When Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared in the house of Raghava Pandit while going to Vrindavan, Gadadhar Das went to see him, and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was so glad that he put his foot on his head. When Gadadhar Das Prabhu was present in Ndiyadaha, he established a Balagopal Murti for worship there. Sri Madhava Ghosh performed a drama known as Dana Kanda, with the help of Sri Nityananda Prabhu and Sri Gadadhar Das. This is explained in the Chaitanya Bhagavat, Antya Lila 5, 318 to 94. Then Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, with great humility, sent some Jagannath Prasadam and a cloth from Lord Jagannath to his mother through Sri Vas Thakur. When the Lord bade farewell to Raghava Pandit, Vasudev Dutta, the residents of Kulinagram, and other devotees, he praised them for their transcendental qualities. Ramananda Vasu and Satyaraj Khan asked some questions, and Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu instructed them that all householder devotees must engage themselves in the service of Vaishnavas exclusively devoted to chanting the holy name of the Lord. He also instructed the Vaishnavas from Kanda, as well as Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya and Vidya Vachaspati, and he praised Murari Gupta for his firm faith in the lotus feet of Lord Ramachandra. Considering the humble prayer of Vasudev Datta, he established that Lord Sri Krishna is qualified to deliver all the conditioned souls. Thereafter, when Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was accepting prasadam at the house of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, Sarvabhauma's son-in-law, Amoga, created trouble in the family with his criticisms. The following morning, he was attacked by the disease of Vishuchika, cholera. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu very kindly saved him from death and enlivened him in chanting the holy name of Lord Krishna. He got cholera. Someone else must have got leprosy. I guess this one's purifying very quickly. Like that. Shloka Anusharanam. Summary of verses. Verses 1 to 14. Sri Advaita Acharya's worship of Lord Chaitanya. 15 to 36. The devotees celebrate Nanda Mahotsava and other festivals. 37 to 182. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gives specific instructions to his devotees. 183 to 270. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya invites the Lord for prasadam. 271 to 302, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu shows mercy to Amoga. Verses 1 to 14, Sri Advaita Acharya's worship of Lord Chaitanya. 215 to 1 through 6, while Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was taking prasadam at the house of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, Amoga criticized him. Still, the Lord accepted Amoga, thereby showing how much he was obliged to his devotees. All glories to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. All glories to Lord Nityananda Prabhu. All glories to Advaita Chandra. And all glories to all the devotees of Lord Chaitanya. All glories to the listeners of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, who have accepted it as their life and soul. While Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu stayed at Jagannath Puri, he constantly enjoyed chanting and dancing with his devotees. In the beginning of the day, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu saw the deity of Lord Jagannath in the temple. He offered him obeisances and prayers and danced and sang before him. After visiting the temple, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would remain outside during the Upala Bhoga offering. He would then go meet Haridas Thakur and return to his residence. Srila Prabhupada. At noon, when there was an Upala Bhoga offering in a place called Bhoga Vardhana Kanda, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would go outside the temple. Before going outside, he used to stand near the Garuda Stambha column and offer his obeisances and prayers. Afterwards, the Lord would visit Siddha Bokal, where Haridas Thakur lived. After visiting with Haridas Thakur, the Lord would return to his own place at the abode of Kashi Mishra. So they're all around that main road then. Oh no, because it's Kashi Mishra's compound that Haridas Thakur said. So he'd go in and see Haridas Thakur, then go to his place.
It's just on the way.
It's just on the way. Oh, you mean so?
No, on the way to Gambira. Gambira, if you go from the temple, then Haridas Thakur place, and then next to it is Gambira.
Haridas Thakur's place is first within the compound.
Yeah, if you go
from
that,
the temple. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, and if you're coming from the sea, then it'll be the other way.
Right.
Okay.
Geography lesson.
Okay, geography.
Yes, the temple is here, the main road is here, you've got the thing there. Then you take the road up, right? You get the road up, Gambira is here.
On the left?
Yeah, Gambira is here on the left. Now, when you go down the road further down, you get to Siddha Bakul, which means at that time it was one main property. And Siddha Bakul was right at the end of the property, closest to the beach.
Is it?
Yeah. Because Lord Chaitanya would go take a bath, and these were back, you would stop at Haidastakur and then go home.
So it's in the river as well?
Yeah.
Okay, but in any case, you still go to Haridasa's first, then go to his place.
Yeah.
So he first went to the beach?
No, but here he didn't necessarily go to the beach. Maybe he went to the beach. There is a mention. We'll have to see what Chaitanya Bhagavat says if he went to the beach.
Went to take bath.
Hmm?
There it says, I think he takes bath and then goes to visit.
On his way home, he stops at Haridasa.
Yeah, it just mentioned that he, you know, in other words, that's the important part. Taking bath, that's something you always do. So he doesn't have to mention every time.
But not in the sea, maybe.
Hmm?
Not in the ocean.
Yeah. No, you mean say always, they take bath there. It's so sad. Like I said, if you regularly take bath, then the body adjusts to it and it doesn't create any itching or anything like that. You know, and the salt will also, you know,
not that they have showers on the beach, you know, from the shore.
No. But I mean, think about it. Now, let's say, have you seen in major malls and sometimes even the airport malls and that there's one not so small but not so big, kind of like a little, you know, kiosk that's there and it's selling particular items from a particular place that's quite salty?
Mm.
No?
Yeah.
Yeah. So then it can't be all bad.
Also, Puri Sea is not as salty. Mediterranean is very salty. According to Black Sea, it's not as salty. You know, different even sea and ocean, not the same amount of salt is there.
Oh, okay.
Some more, some less. Because Mediterranean is really salty.
Yeah.
What about the Dead Sea?
Well, a dancer is just salt.
Like that, yeah.
When we went to Udupi Maharaj, it felt Kapoor is very salty. This is very nice.
Sorry?
Yeah. The Udupi beach,
uh-huh.
That is very less salt.
Less salt.
Less than Puri.
Less
because it's a west coast.
Because it's an Arabian rather than Indian.
That's right.
Okay. That's interesting.
My uncle went to the Dead Sea and my mom told him, very salty, you cannot just go there and swim wherever you want. He didn't listen. He paid his price on the way to Jerusalem. He was itching like anything because he didn't shower. Of course.
He didn't shower.
No. He said, what is this? Just to see.
Right, yeah. Yes. Well, 2:15, 7 through 14. So we've had geography lessons, you know, all varieties of them. What Puri is like, the ocean. So that'd be interesting to see, you know, because it always mentions the seven. He was the lord of the seven continents, seven seas. You know, it's like Yudhishthir, you know, like that. So sitting in his room, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would chant on his beads. And Advaita Prabhu would come there to worship the Lord. Is Lord Chaitanya's beads still there?
At the Gambira.
Yes.
Beads?
They're still there.
Yeah, and Paduka.
His shoes are there, yeah.
Beads.
Kamandalu, no?
Kamandalu, yes. Yeah, it's all there.
Oh, okay.
And that, cool. That thing you know.
Big shoes.
Yeah.
Right, seven. But I mean, the deities here are life size.
Right.
That's the actual size, yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Lord Chaitanya was 7 foot tall. And Radha Madhava, that's life size. Madhava's 5'10". And Radharani's 5'8". Prabhupada said that's their natural size.
In meters, how much is this in meters?
In meters? Plenty. I wouldn't have a clue.
5'10" in meters?
Mm.
175.
And then 7 foot?
Well, 7 is 2 meter 10 centimeters.
Basketball team.
Hmm?
Basketball players.
Yeah. I mean, there's 5 of them. Yeah, they could have had their own basketball team.
So that means that the Radha Shyama Sundar in Vrindavan, they are smaller. They are less than 5 feet.
Yeah, yeah, no. These are the only ones that were done as a full size. Mm-hmm. You know, because it's here, it's the big temple and everything mm-hmm. like that. But otherwise, there, for your general dressing and that, then that like 30 inch, it works very inch, very nice. That this size like that, then works very well. Because you know, the outfits you can do, the cloth will hang nicely, like that. But and you can still do detail. You go smaller like Radha Raman, then the cloth will hold itself up. You can just put the back draw like this and that, and it'll stay. But then you can't do necessarily as much detail, or not at least the darshan can see. Like that. So, you know, here because it's big temple, so then they're bigger. In other places, it's smaller, so then.
But sad books for me when they did the prototype of the deities to see how they fit in the theory.
Yeah.
They look back and they say, God, they're so small. Small. So this place is huge. The deities are so small.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I even came in and I wondered, why aren't they putting full size, you know, because they put the what do you call it? That you know they you know the pictures and they cut them out and put them just to see how everything would fit, and I came in and I saw and I thought, why is it so small? I didn't say anything, you know, because well, you know, it's not my business. And then Sadhguru was saying when he takes people around that they always comment, why are they small? You know, and that when it says, but this is actually the full size, the place is just that big because they think, you know, all the small, the room's small, why isn't it big and all that. But he says it's bigger than you know what's there now, but because of the size of the temple room, you don't think it's that big. You think it's smaller. You think the openings are smaller, the whole altar, everything's smaller, and you know why? You know it's so big you couldn't have made it bigger. He says no. He says you see their size. You know, as it is then, you know. So on these altars, then they'll basically look like Radhe Shyam in Vrindavan Vrindavan temple.
Harder in the beginning when you go to Vrindavan, it's too small, you have to go close.
Yeah. Hmm. Okay. Sitting in his room, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would chant on his beads, and Advaita Prabhu would come there to worship the Lord. While worshipping Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Advaitacharya would offer him scented water to wash his mouth and feet. Then Advaitacharya would smear very fragrant sandalwood pulp all over his body. Sri Advaita Prabhu would also place a flower garland around the Lord's neck and tulsi flowers, mandris, on his head. Then with folded hands, Advaitacharya would offer obeisances and prayers unto the Lord. After being worshipped by Advaitacharya, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would take the dish containing flowers and tulsi and, with whatever paraphernalia remained, worship Advaitacharya. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would worship Advaitacharya by chanting the mantra, whatever you are, but I offer my respects unto you. Yo si so si, namo stute. In addition, the Lord would make some sounds within his mouth that would make Advaitacharya laugh. In this way, Advaitacharya and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would offer their respectful obeisances unto each other. Then Advaitacharya would extend an invitation to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu again and again. Indeed, Sri Advaitacharya's invitation is another wonderful story. It has been very vividly described by Vrindavan Das Thakur. Since Advaitacharya's invitation has been described by Vrindavan Das Thakur, I shall not repeat the story, but I shall say that other devotees also extended invitations to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Verses 15 to 36. The devotees celebrate Nanda Mahotsava and other festivals. 2:15, 15 through 36. Day after day, one devotee after another would invite Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and the other devotees, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and the other devotees to lunch and would also hold a festival. All the devotees remained at Jagannath Puri for 4 continuous months, and they observed all Lord Jagannath's festivals with great pleasure. The devotees celebrated the festival of Janmashtami, Krishna's birthday, which is also called Nandotsava, the festival of Nanda Maharaj, Nanda Mahotsava. At that time, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's devotees dressed themselves as cowherd boys. Having dressed up like cowherd boys, all the devotees carried pots of milk and yogurt balanced on rods over their shoulders. Thus they all arrived at the festival grounds, chanting the holy name of Hari. So it seems the boys carried the goods on sticks, you know, on the shoulder, and the gopis carry on their head. Like that. Kanai Kutia dressed himself like Nanda Maharaj, and Jagannath Mahati dressed himself as Mother Jashoda. At that time, King Prataparudra was also personally present with Kashi Mishra, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, and Tulasi Padi Chapattara, the temple superintendent. As usual, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu danced jubilantly. Everyone was covered with milk, yogurt, and yellow turmeric water. At this time, Srila Dvaitacharya said, "Please do not be angry. I speak the truth. I shall know that you are a cowherd boy only if you can wheel this rod about." Accepting Advaitacharya's challenge, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took a big rod and began to wheel it around and around. Again and again he threw the rod into the sky and caught it when it fell. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wheeled and threw the rod, sometimes over his head, sometimes behind his back, sometimes in front of him, sometimes to his side, and sometimes between his legs. All the people laughed to see this. Right? You know, so it's an old tradition. It means especially here, it's still in Bengal. I'm not sure if other parts have it, but it's the use of the long stick. It's your own height. It's not short sticks. So the local fighting and that is with these long sticks, and there's a way of swinging it. So it goes completely in the front, but it can also do the sides. You can also do the front and the back at the same time. So it does things that other general stick fighting techniques don't have. But in that, then it appears also, then, you know, they become so good at it and that, because the cowherd boys, then they'll play. Yeah. Then they can throw it from any position also. At any point in the movement of the stick, front and back, they can throw it from the back, from the front, from the sides, you know, and even from under the legs, how they do that one. That one's very special.
It's like the devotee Doyle, Russian devotee of the Polish tour.
He isn't Russian.
He's not Russian?
No, he looks like Russian, but he is. No, he's from, you know,
that boy
from Europe.
How you go to the stage?
Oh, he does the sticks also.
Yeah,
he does sticks and the
swords.
Yeah, swords and the fire.
And the wheel and the
fire. Oh, fire? Okay.
Yeah, usually he goes in front of the procession, and then everybody follows him. All the people just pay attention.
Yeah.
He's part of Hindu Jinnah Maharaj's tour.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yes.
In villages, if you cannot wear the stick, then you're not considered as a man.
Okay, yeah. You have to know.
It's initiation, right?
Yeah.
How good you are.
Yeah, and they seem to be fit. Back in the 80s, we used to have a guy come down to teach stick fighting. And he'd walk from, I'm not sure from where, very long ways away. But he walked down and walked back. And it was just, you know, he was just very fit. I guess not a whole lot else to do. When Sri Chaitanya, all the people laughed to see this, when Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu whirled the rod in a circle like a firebrand, the heart of everyone who saw it was astonished. Nityananda Prabhu also played at whirling the rod. Who can understand how they were ecstatically immersed in the deep emotions of the cowherd boys? My time is up. Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jai Srila Prabhupada ki jai.